Ray and Chimney get in some father-in-law son crime bonding. Mickey gets his money, but then Sandy teaches them to always know who you're messing with. Stay tuned for this week's recap of Ray Donovan.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I'm Rachel Goodman, and I'm here with Erica, and we're here today to do the recap of Ray Donovan, episode 4, Pudge. So, Erica, what do you think overall of this week's episode?
What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards. Overall, I really like this episode. I mean, I think it gave us, you know, traditional Ray Donovan. But it was interesting kind of seeing Terry a little bit, seeing a little bit more of his storyline or whatever. You know, so I really enjoyed this episode overall. I think it was really gritty, but I liked it.
Yeah. And, you know, I loved seeing how they kind of took everything and, you know, just seeing it from Ray's point of view and Mickey's point of view and how everything kind of eventually sort of collided. I also want to point out, too, that we really wanted to use the Kool-Aid or Don't Drink the Kool-Aid song by Ice Cube. But instead, we ended up choosing the Four Tops because it was just a little bit cleaner. So both songs are featured in the episode, though, so we picked one of them.
Yes.
In any case, let's go ahead and start off with Ray and where we are at the beginning of the week. So we have basically, we kind of pick up exactly where we left off last time with Mickey and Ray having that phone conversation and basically Mickey saying, hey, you're going to bring me this money or we're going to kill Jay. And yeah, so we kind of picked up with that. And then immediately Ray decides he's going to get Sam involved. What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, I sort of thought that that was the point, really,
yeah.
Because it was like, I mean, I guess Ray has $3 million, but the whole point is to get the money from the studio. So,
yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing. And I think that's why he called Ray, because he knew Ray would get it done. And Sam has, you know, you have to ask for the deep pockets. So
yeah.
It totally made sense. It was interesting that at the end she's like, you owe me $3 million.
Exactly. So it's not
like,
even like,
wow, that's going to get crazy further down the line. But yeah, so that was interesting.
And the way she said it too, it's like you said, Ray probably has $3 million. He probably has a way of getting that money to him. Not a big deal. But it's just the principle of it that Mickey wanted it to come from the studio. And I almost felt like even though Sam said, you owe me $3 million, I almost like subtextually feel like she said it. Like what she really meant was, you owe me work. You're mine. Like you're not like not even like give me the money, but more like you owe me favors.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we kind of have that. Ray ends up. Sam's really quick to say, I'll do it for you. But any other woman might feel like you're more trouble than you're actually worth. So we're starting to get, you know, more from her, too, that she, because I feel like, you know, in the beginning, like, especially season 5, it felt like Sam really needed Ray more than Ray needed her. And getting into this, now it's like, okay, now they're starting to need each other, you know, Ray's starting to need her a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think that Ray necessarily needs her. I think that now, initially, she was always, I think we're seeing the other side of more so of her character, where she's really going to start probably putting, you know, really putting sort of like the gun to him, you know what I'm saying, to get what she wants all the time. So,
yeah, and we basically. Once it gets to that point too, where we actually see Ray going through with the money, like I felt like, even they didn't even have to really explain it. They just showed that really quick clip of, you know, with Daryl where Ray is going to track the money. So obviously Ray knows too, that there's more that he can do with this to try and like, it almost feels like Ray has deeper plans and that Sam's sort of just kind of a pawn in his plans too, because he's got these, you know, this huge vendetta against Mickey. So basically we see Ray meeting with Bunchy. I thought that was really sad that Ray was like, yeah, if you do this, if you go with Mickey, you're the same to me as he is. So I felt bad for Bunchy because he's in such a bad situation.
I felt bad for Bunchy, but I do feel like Ray and Mickey, especially this season, have made it, you know, these lines have been drawn. Like, are you going to be, are you going to ride with Mickey or ride with Ray?
Yeah.
And I feel like Daryl has chosen Ray and Bunchy's chosen Mickey.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Bunchy was right to some extent. None of them came, or they were all sort of mad or whatever. And I think Bunchy had some really good arguments that he made to Ray about Ray not being there as well. So,
but I love how like Ray was like, oh, well, I knew he wasn't going to die. Like Ray, it's like almost like Ray knows his dad so well that he knew when he got the call. Oh, no, this is just Mickey's way of getting out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, I know he said that, and, you know, but at the end of the day, I think Bunchy has a point. Like, you didn't really know, because yeah. Mickey is old, so sooner or later, this season or the next season, there is going to come a point where Mickey is going to, you know, I mean, he's older, so it's not like, I mean, I get it that you know that it's probably whatever, but to some extent, you have to also know that it could have been true. So, yeah. I mean, I got it that he was like, oh, I knew he wasn't going to die. But had Mickey really died, it would have been
exactly,
a thing. So I felt like he was kind of almost too flippant with that answer, to be honest. But I get it that he and Mickey are so much alike that that's why they're at odds. But still, he is your dad.
But at the same time, and I completely get what you're saying, too. I think just with Ray, it's almost like, well, so, just because he's his dad doesn't actually mean that Ray thinks of him as his father at this point, maybe by blood only, but the actual relationship to me, I know they went a while where they were okay with each other, but I just feel like with Ray, it's no, like he'll never, a part of him will never be able to forgive certain things, and that he'll just never, you know, have that bond with him or never even be able to get back to even being an okay, you know, relationship with Mickey. It's just right. always going to be what it is. So we had finally, you know, Bunchy got the money, we kind of go back and we see a little bit with Sandy and Mickey and Bunchy, and like it just felt like things were going kind of, you know, like I could just feel like something was gonna go wrong. We had Mickey getting drunk, but before they even got the money, what did you think that Jay was going to die, and what did you think of that whole Abraham Mickey quoted, well, not quoted, but when he kind of like brought the Bible into this?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really think that Jay White was going to die, but yeah. I mean, I understand, like, as a writer, too, it's like they've messed his script up. So that, to me, is so interesting how personally he's taking that. Like, I think the only time, you know, when when his last girlfriend in Vegas got shot, that was the only time where you really saw Mickey, like, really get, you know, really violent and really hardcore. And so it's interesting to see that now it's like he considers himself an artist and it's all about the script and the drama of the script or whatever. And it's like and that was so funny because that really motivated him to do the jailbreak out, because he was kind of like, whatever, you know, chilling in prison. And then he sees them doing his script and that kind of set all of these actions in motion. So it is sort of interesting that he takes it so seriously and so personally. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he was really going to kill him.
I think he was. I think he was going to. I think Bunchy arrived just in time with the money. But I think the thing that really – I felt like, in a way, knowing the outcome, knowing that Jay doesn't die, I'm actually – this is going to sound like sadistic kind of, but I'm actually kind of glad Jay went through that, because he was acting like this diva, bratty actor, and he goes through this – and Mickey pretty much puts him in his place. And, like, I feel like after this, now, we don't know what's going to happen with Jay's, I don't even know if you want to say he's addicted. He was, to me, he was coming off like a drug addict in the trailer and just the way he was acting. But I feel like after this experience with Mickey, now we're going to see, like, maybe a different kind of Jay who, you know, we even saw it when they reshot that same scene.
Right.
And he was taking it, like, he was just taking it more seriously, and his head was like a little, had been deflated. And they even make that hilarious comment about how, oh, like, I think Sandy said, his head's so big.
Right.
Mickey's like, oh, that's just how actors are in Hollywood. It looks good on film. So, yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, for Jay's arc, I feel like he needed to go through this.
Yeah, I mean, it was so interesting to see how much of a better actor he was once he, you know, once he was really mad about something and he had really been through something. So yeah. I think it was interesting. And I think in some aspects, I'm sure it'll make him a better actor. I'm not sure, like, I guess, you know, we'll see how long his character is kind of around in the next coming episodes. But I'm not really sure, like, if it's going to really, affect him deeply enough to change, like, how he is overall. But yeah. It definitely improved his acting, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I think let's go ahead and just touch on a couple of comments in the chat, and then we can move on to our next segment here.
Okay.
Okay, so Frank S., he seems to be doing more than $3 million worth of work. He's talking about Ray. Hubby Joe, good show this week. Ray to the rescue, double cross, fight club. Kay Steger, I think Sam is the new Ezra from the first couple of seasons. That actually sounds pretty legitimate.
Absolutely. Where, you know, Ezra can seem like so cool until he really wants you, wants to get crazy with you. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
And then we have Kay saying, when Bunchy said, just say something, was really sad. Yeah. Hubby Joe, you have to feel bad for Bunchy. The father is playing everyone to his favor. So I definitely agree with all those comments around.
I feel you always, I think that's the thing, like every season almost, you always feel bad for Bunchy. And then when he finally finds a girl, she's like cuckoo.
Yeah.
So Bunchy has had a really difficult storyline almost every season. I feel like Bunchy goes through it.
And he had to deal with Sandy alone too. And that, I know, like last time we were talking about this, how to me it was so, Sandy is just so creepy. And like the more we find out about her, just the more she creeps me out. But
she did, although I don't know, you're so hard on Sandy. Because when she's like trying to be a comedian, it was like hilarious. And then when Bunchy's like, well, no, isn't it the penis that will kill the pigeons? I'm like, Bunchy, it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke, Bunchy. She's trying to start a new career. You know what I'm saying? She has dreams, Bunchy.
Oh, she has major dreams. We'll get to that. So, in any case, before we jump to our next segment.
All right, you guys. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one of or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, so let us know if you subscribe, you guys.
Definitely.
And we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for subscribing. If you're listening live right now, we do have some people in the chat. Just let us know and we'll give you a shout out. So
for sure.
Yeah. There isn't much left to say with everything with Ray and Jay and this particular storyline. Other than just to say that Ray finds out about Sandy Patrick. We get her last name. I don't know if we did before, but he finds out because Lena is tracking the money, which I thought was pretty clever that they were going to do that. I mean, of course, Ray's just not going to let them leave without knowing. And I kind of felt like that was their way of maybe, that was Ray's way of maybe stopping Bunchy and Mickey from leaving if they actually did. But now they at least know they're on to Sandy. They know her name and they may catch her as we see her. I mean, this might be a good time to kind of mention it anyway, but we'll wait till we get to Mickey in the next segment. So I feel like it's a good place to kind of jump here and just kind of talk about that. Did you suspect when Mickey was drinking and they were listening to the Four Tops, did you suspect that anything was going to happen? Did it seem off at all to you?
Not exactly, but it kind of did seem like, okay, this is, because, you know, I don't know how real kidnaps go, but like, any other kidnap story ever. Like, you don't just get the money and turn the person over and it's like, woohoo, party over here. Like,
we're free, we're clear.
So to some extent, something always happens. Like, and since he didn't accidentally kill the guy, the victim, Jay or whatever. So you kind of, I think to some extent, you're like, okay, wait a minute, something's going to happen because it couldn't be this easy to get $3 million.
It did feel really easy. And also, I thought Ray was going to maybe, I mean, he's tracking the money, but I thought he was going to do something else. Like, I just expected that this would be more like, you know, even a couple weeks ago when we were recapping, it felt more like this was a revenge storyline and that Mickey wasn't going to leave but stay around to be like, oh yeah, Ray, I'm finally going to get you.
Or not just that, though. I also felt like when Sam was like, are you going to see him? How are you going to resolve this? I mean, at the end of the day, I definitely feel like Ray has a plan for his father. Like, last season, he wanted him to go to prison, and he did. So, you know, I mean, I think Ray still has a plan for Mickey to kind of get him out of their lives long term.
Yeah, so, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But then we get to that scene where it was kind of, you know, first of all, I find it interesting. This is kind of going back a little. When Mickey was talking to, you know, to Jay and kind of mentioning how he knew Sandy in the first place, It's interesting because he is like, yeah, Sandy married my brother. They were high school sweethearts. And then my brother went overseas. He was going to come back, but within 48 hours, you know, we had sent like a, you know, when he was in Vietnam, they sent an airstrike to the wrong hill and his brother died. And so Mickey's like, well, he died by his own people, the same way my people turned on me. And it's just it's like crazy because Sandy's right there, and I wouldn't have expected this to happen until it actually happened, where Sandy took the money and ran, because she seemed like one of those few people that Mickey could trust. And so it's like, like, Mickey really, you know, I don't know if it's just because he assumed she would be okay, but Mickey really let her pull a fast one on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, because I mean, you have to have something, you know, someone that you can trust on the outside. So it is interesting. Although I did kind of feel like when he had some of the money out there on the table, I did feel like, okay, can you trust her that much? And how much are you really giving her of that $3 million?
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't really clear like what her cut was or whatever originally anyway, but it was like, okay, you're staying at her house, you're pulling out all this money. So I did sort of think like, okay, you know, something's going to happen with that money.
Yeah. It just seemed to, and just how drunk that Mickey was getting, and then Bunchy wasn't there. And just me, like, I was creeped out by her, like, the whole time. But I just think it's really cool that we end on that song by Ice Cube, and she's driving away, she's smoking a bong, she's smoking a cigarette, smoking out of a bong, smoking a cigarette, she's drinking, she's driving, and we don't even know where she's headed.
Exactly. And so, you know, they're like, I assume they're tracking the money, so that's interesting. That part was a surprise, but not entirely, because I feel like a lot of times it's, you know, in a lot of gangster type movies, it is the woman that betrays you. So it was a slight surprise, but interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the money.
It's interesting going off that. It wasn't even like she's an older person who was going to pretend to be a nun and she's stealing all this money. But it's kind of like, all right, it's not that surprising at all that to me that it ended up being her that was going to take it.
Right. I mean, and so it'll be interesting to see, like, as they follow her, or if she has an accident, because I feel like if she can make it driving drunk.
That's what I was worried about too, because first of all, she took her eyes away from the road too many times.
Right, exactly. I was like, she's about to have a car accident.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll save some for predictions, I guess.
Yeah. So, okay, so we have all that. Let's jump back into everything happening with Schmitty and Bridget. I only knew from the previews that something was up with him from last week, so it wasn't a surprise, but just how everything went down was really interesting.
It was interesting, although what interesting to me about them is that, like, I don't know, this season, and I guess I want to see what the people in the chat, what do you think? To me, I'm not feeling Bridget and Schmitty at all. Like, I feel like I don't know. Like, she almost was like, ugh, I don't want to sleep with you. Like, I just get, I feel like there's not any chemistry between them at all. I mean, I think before he was so sick or whatever, and I know they're engaged and he got her a cute ring apparently, but I felt like she couldn't get out that apartment fast enough, really. She's like, I'm out of here. I got to go to work. Oh, I'm so tempted. And she did not look tempted. She did not look tempted. So I'm totally not feeling their vibe. I don't know why she's, you know, persisting in that relationship, but I'm not feeling that vibe between them at all.
I completely agree with you. I'm feeling more of a vibe between Anita and Ray than I'm feeling between Bridget and Schmitty. And it just doesn't feel like he obviously cares for her. I feel like it may be more one-sided, and maybe feels like she can't, like she's been with him so long. The hesitation when he proposed too was crazy enough where I feel like she shouldn't have even considered it, because it was just too much. There was too much doubt. And then for someone to say, oh yeah, I'm just going to go to work, I'm going to be late. If she had really been into him, she would have at least like kind of sat with him for a few minutes and like, you know, but I just didn't, even just them talking together, I didn't feel any kind of romantic chemistry. Like a sense of duty to him.
And exactly. That's like she definitely feels obligated. I think she definitely feels, you know, guilt or something over what her family did or whatever her situation was last season. But now it just feels like, okay, I'm just here because I said I was going to do this. But she doesn't seem committed to it at all. He totally seems into her.
Yeah.
And like, I love her, you know, and all this. And then on a side note, I feel like he needs a haircut. I am sorry to say, like, why did I think you were cuter as a cancer victim? I don't know, but yeah, get a trim or get it styled up, use some gel. I don't know what to tell you because, you know, I'm not a stylist, but I feel like his style is very lacking. Like, I'm like, I wouldn't be attracted to him either. Like, he just doesn't seem, I don't know, you guys, I don't be too hard on him because I know he survived cancer, but yeah, I'm not liking his haircut.
So we end up seeing Bridget ends up going to the internship where she has a brief call with Anita, a brief conversation with Anita. And I just want to mention, it was kind of interesting that even Anita was like, oh, well, you know, it just came up about how young Bridget was. And Bridget was like, well, my first boyfriend died in a drive-by shooting incident. And my second boyfriend was my 11th grade teacher. So I think this is an improvement. I'm like, no, that's not why you marry a person, because you think that they're an improvement from your first two boyfriends. But in any case, I digress. We have...
Yeah, that whole interaction between her and Anita just seemed weird. Like, it's like, okay, because clearly Anita's not talking to everyone that hands out flyers in the park for her.
Yeah.
So that was like, okay, you know, I get it. I like your dad or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think, but it was kind of funny. I thought the writing in there was kind of cute because it was like, yeah, you know, he's way better than a pedophile. So there's that. He's an improvement. And so it was interesting. And then actually what was interesting about that is that Bridget was the one who was like, oh, I know I'm young, da, da, da. And Anita really didn't say all of that, because Anita was kind of like,
well, I've been there, really, done that.
More, I think Anita was kind of looking like, I don't really care. I'm just asking you because you're Ray's daughter. Like, I'm not really engaged in this conversation that deeply, but it's okay, you know. So that was kind of, so both of their dialogue, I think, was interesting, because then Anita was like, well, I don't, you know, divorced after a couple years too. So it was interesting that they both kind of made an effort, I guess, to sort of be authentic with each other, which was cute.
So we have a couple of comments here in the chat. Frank S., do you agree with me that the Bunchy downfall is an unenjoyable part of the show? And we have Hubby Joe says he agrees. But then Kay also says, yes, he needs a haircut, and now we know she doesn't really know Schmitty. And that's a good kind of segue into the next part of this, which is that apparently Schmitty was in deep, about 80K deep, with loan sharks. Finally, you know, I think they said his name was Chalky, and the Albanians show up at the apartment. They take a bat and, like, destroy things, and then he gets Ray involved.
Okay, so wait a minute, and then go back. So I know he was in deep. Did we ever find out what he actually owes for?
He said, so when he was talking to Ray, he said two things. He said it started out as him stealing cars.
Right, right, right.
But then also was dealing drugs.
Right, I know he was dealing drugs, so he seemed to be like, you know, I got it. I got the money. I just don't want Bridget to be here, you know?
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like he didn't mean he had the money right that second.
Like, he can get it, obviously. Because he was cute. I actually liked that part where he was, like, doing his high-end, let me sell these drugs right,
like,
quick.
Real fast.
Part of me was like, what you been doing? You knew you owed the money. Like, why haven't you been selling it? Like, what do you, you know, like, why are you laying up in bed when you need to be out on your bike?
Unless he's just that in love with Bridget that he's been spending time with her. And I think that that was one of her first days at the internship, right? Like, it had just kind of started. So, I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Exactly. But you need to stop playing up and keeping your drugs in the cookie jar and, like, start selling them, because that's your job and you need to be out there.
But it was hilarious how it went down with Ray, because he brings him into the bar. He tells Ray. Ray's like, oh, yeah, 80K. I got this. But then Schmitty was like, I really love how he was like, no. I'll deal with it. My concern is Bridget's here with me. I want her to go with you. And basically, she won't leave because she wants to stay with me. That's what I got out of the context of that conversation. Exactly. So then Ray's like, all right, let's go. Where are they? And he shows up with his wooden baseball bat. And he's like, let's go in. And Schmitty's like, you want to talk about this? And I was thinking, well, wait, you don't even know who this is. You don't even know Ray if you're asking him if he wants to talk about this. He's going to kill those men.
Well, okay, first of all, like, let's keep it 100. You do know Ray. Because Ray poisoned you to get his wife there. So you do know who you're dealing with. So stop playing stupid. And that's why you went to him, because you knew. And then, so I don't think he's as innocent. But that was a cute scene. It was adorbs. But I was like, okay, come on. And then, so that was interesting. So I kind of, that scene actually was fun to watch, too. Because it was like, oh, okay. You know, so it's like, okay, I got it or whatever. But now, what I didn't like about that was, and people in the chat room, let me know your thoughts. Why did it take Schmitty that long to get into the fight? I was like, you don't have cancer anymore. Why are you just standing back in the back looking stunned? Like, he is fighting three people. And on a side note, the lamest gangsters ever. Like, I know Ray had a bat, but I don't know. The other people, one of them had a gun.
That's
so
seriously.
I'm like, y'all are the lamest Albanians ever, because you're not doing anything. And so Schmitty, like, okay, now that Ray's beating up everybody, I'm going to kick this person in the face a few times. Stop it. Like, why are you waiting so long to get into the fight? I'm like, I'm not going to take him to a fight ever, because he's the worst.
I can only imagine, too. Like, okay, so I'm guessing, and this is just me noticing the blood splatter on Ray's white shirt. I'm thinking, all right, so obviously this is a job hazard, and, like, it's just funny, the idea that, of taking this to a dry cleaner and being like, yep, another day at the job.
I know, exactly.
But on that note, too, I want to make a note of the actual conversation after the fight, where basically Ray was like, all right, first of all, well, all it was Schmitty saying, why wouldn't bat, why not aluminum?
Right? And totally
then,
cute.
And then Ray's like, well, no. This dude, I didn't even catch the guy's name because it went by really fast, but a baseball player hit, so many home runs, and he used wood, not aluminum. And then after that, by the way, if you ever hurt my daughter again, I'll break your back.
yeah. Like, I thought the writing in that scene, too, was really, really good. Really good. Because it was kind of like, okay, we both, you know, are into baseball and da 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 da. And we know our statistics and we know this and that. But yeah, but if you bring my daughter into this mess again, that'll be you. So I really liked that scene a lot. And I thought it was very well written, very well done. So that part I actually really did like a lot.
Yeah. We have a couple more comments from the chat. We have Frank S. I love how he stays a baseball purist and stayed with the wooden bat. K. Exactly. Steger, has to be a wooden bat. Hubby Joe, # wooden bat. And then Frank S. says, I was wondering when Schmitty was going to jump into the fight.
Exactly. Yeah. I was very irritated by that. Because if you notice, like, with Donovan's, like, when Terry got married at the reception, when they start fighting, like, when you go in and your friends are fighting, you don't just stand there. Like, who does that? Like, this is your family. Like he said, we're family. So that's the thing. I was like, you don't wait till the other person does all the fighting and now you're going to jump in and throw in a few licks.
Yeah.
That was kind of lame, Schmitty. But yeah.
So speaking of fighting, before we get to our special segments, Terry, what did you think of that fight?
I loved that scene. So let me know what you guys think. Like, I, you know, poor Terry, but yeah. Like, you know, it was just like straight out of Rocky or something. It's like, yeah, the eye of the tiger rising up. Oh, yes, I loved it.
He looked great. Like he was going to lose until
I know. And then he was like, oh, no, I'm not going down. And it's like, yay, Terry. Especially like, his wife could come, like, did they ever get divorced? It's like, she just moved out. Like, I don't know. Since Terry doesn't have a woman, I mean, I want him to have something in his life.
Yeah.
So, so although I think that scene, kind of like with Bunchy, was so, some respects, so sad that Terry is driven to this, like, underground old man fighting ring. Like, oh my gosh, Fight Club for old men. So scary and sad on so many levels.
I love the dude's name. Polish Tony.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Polish, like, Tony went down to Irish Donovan.
And everyone was like, okay, this dude, he was like, you know, like, you're not going to win. He's a tough guy. As the fight started, I was like, Terry, just give up. Stop. And then he won. I was like, okay.
I know. It's the eye of the tiger. Oh, that's what we should have played. Oh, yeah. That would have been a good song, too.
Next week.
But yeah. But yeah, so that scene was so scary. Although, like, Terry has Parkinson's. So yeah. I'm like, you spent all that money on that surgery.
Why mess it up?
Like, now, what are you going to, you know, you're going to be shaking next week. I mean, yeah. I love him. And it was a great scene, but scary.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get to our news segment.
AfterBuzz TV News. So what news? I didn't find any news this week, unfortunately, people. But what did you find?
I have one thing. It's actually not like the newest of news, right. But this is from a New York Post article from like the end of October. It's about Jon Voight and how he's really excited that they're back in New York, and he's so excited that he went to his old home. So from the article, we have him saying it was like he was coming home. Jon Voight was apparently born in Yonkers. One day on location, he realized his childhood home was nearby. This is a quote. It was 7 minutes away, he told Post the other day, as he drove his Lexus through Beverly Hills, California. Must be nice. A driver for the show took Voight to his old home at 60 Ball Avenue. 15 years had passed since he'd last seen it. So I thought that was interesting to know.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
And that's he does seem like a New Yorker. Like, even when we were watching that first scene where he comes back, he's like, home. Like, you could just tell the character, not only Mickey, but the actual actor too, was really glad to be back in New York.
And I like that. I'm loving the New York. They're adding enough kind of spice to it to kind of make it a little bit edgier than it is in LA. So I like that they're doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And New York is a great place. So who can blame them?
Yes.
In any case, we have our next segment, which is our special quotes.
Yay. Favorite quotes coming up.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and dive in. Did you have any quotes that you thought were especially memorable?
Okay. So my favorite quote, or not favorite, but one that really stuck with me was by Terry, actually. And he was like, when he was talking to the bartender. And so he tells the bartender, I'm not even a has-been, I'm a never-was.
Mm. Oh, poor Terry.
Gosh, I was like, I know what you mean, out here in L.A. trying to make it, I'm a never-was. Okay, this isn't about me. But yeah, so I really thought that line was well-written and just so, kind of just shows a lot about, you know, about Terry, about the character, because it's like, Ray has kind of made it. You know, Daryl is young, but Terry is kind of like, this was his dream, but nothing really has really popped off for him, and he's lost so much. So I thought that was a line that was really touching on him.
Awesome. Yeah. And for me, I especially loved a lot of the different scenes between Mickey and Jay. I wrote a lot of those down, but something that really stuck out to me is this particular conversation when he's talking to Jay about the script, and Mickey's like, you know what you are? You're a pervert. You took my script and you perverted it. Mickey to Jay, as he's holding a gun to his face. This is before he tells him to baa like a sheep. Mm-hmm. And then Sandy comes by, and this is especially hilarious considering what we know about her now. Sandy comes over and she's like, he needs to eat. Mickey, really, give the man a bowl of cereal.
Oh, yes, that was so funny.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. That's so funny. And I loved it when Sandy was like, he's got a big head. I don't know why, but I loved that line as well. That was very funny to me.
Yeah, that was so many good one-liners in this. But I know. So let's go ahead and get to our predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So what do you think's going to happen?
Okay. So one, I think Bunchy's going to try to commit suicide.
Yeah, I agree with you.
For sure. I mean, that call to Terry was like, wow.
Like, I love you, goodbye.
Yeah, and he's like, I was always too scared to see your fights. And it's so interesting that he calls, like, right after Tony, you know, after Terry wins. So I think Tony is going, I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I think Bunchy is going to commit suicide or try to commit suicide. I think it'll be interesting because now that Sandy has the money, I think the police are going to get Sandy or something. Like, I feel like now that Sandy took the money, I think Sandy's taking the money is going to be the one thing that allows Mickey to come out unscathed through this whole little shenanigans.
Yeah.
So I think Bunchy will probably be in the hospital somewhere after his suicide attempt. I think Mickey is going to kind of be saved by Sandy's betrayal. And what else do I think? And we didn't really talk about this, but I think the whole thing with Mac is going to, and him going undercover, like, I think that's not going to end nice.
No.
So I think Ray is going to have to come in and save Mac again once they find out, because I'm sure they'll find out that he's undercover.
Yeah. I'm sure that he's going to tell Ray. So that's my prediction. He's going to tell Ray what's going on because Ray is like his, you know, kind of his best friend right now.
Right.
I also think that the money, which, you know, obviously it's going to lead to Sandy. I feel like she's kind of just like, I don't mean to be rude about this, but I kind of feel like she's a dumb criminal. Like, she doesn't really have any grand plans or didn't even really think this through. Probably right. All she thought was, okay, well, I know that by bringing Mickey and Bunchy and the child into my home that I can somehow, you know, work them and get something out of this. But I don't know if she even knows. Like, she seems like she's in this place where she's like, I don't really care. I'm just going to get money and go party until I die. So I feel like she's just going to, you know, like, I don't even know if she has any other bigger plans beyond that. But Ray, I feel like, and this is kind of from the previews too, I feel like that everything with the election is not going to go so hot. And that Sam is going to expect him to do even more than what he can do, but that he's going to end up throughout the season. I think it's all going to be a bunch of, okay, well, it's like give and take between Sam and Ray. Sam and Ray, in that Ray is going to keep going to her, maybe with favors that he's going to need from his family, you know, to help his family. And then she's going to keep asking him to do more. So that's kind of where I see the season heading.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I see Ray doing more for his family, but I do feel like that was the whole point with you owe me the $3 million. So I think at this point, because of what he's done already for Anita and what he owes her in essence for what she did for his dad,
yeah.
I think that's enough for her to have him to the grindstone.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to be about him trying to probably get away from her at the end after a while. Because after a while, she is going to demand something of him that he can't do. Because I don't know. I mean, I feel like he'll, you know, he might go help Bunchy, but I think he's kind of done with bailing the family out too tough. So, but I do feel like she's going to make some demands on him and she's going to force him to keep them with the things that she already has on him.
Yeah. So we have a couple of comments before we wrap up here. Frank just says losing the money may be the best thing for Bunchy. He may turn himself in and return the child. And then Hubby Joe says they will turn it around and put the blame on Mickey and Bunchy, and then Bunchy will get off. Mickey will be killed. So, good prediction.
No, Mickey, don't die, Mickey. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like Sandy stealing the money is going to make it easier for Bunchy and Mickey to come out of it
yeah.
some kind of way. But we don't want Mickey to die, y'all. But maybe he does deserve a shot or something. He does deserve a few little injuries.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Mickey adds so much to the show. Like, it's amazing. So
yeah, exactly. It's kind of like he adds all that tension. I wouldn't want him to die either, just for that fact that we need that rivalry. That's
yeah, what makes Ray Donovan. I think what'll be, I mean, I think it is an idea to think about, because it's like, now that Ray's wife is gone, you know what I mean? Like, Mickey has been Ray's nemesis from the beginning, yeah. Right? From season one. So it's hard to imagine a season without Mickey. So if Mickey dies, it would totally, I mean, it kind of depends on how they're doing in the ratings or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every so often you do have to take out a major character to keep your, keep your show kind of hyped up. So I hope they don't take out Mickey, but it would, because then they'd have to replace Mickey with another nemesis in Ray's life, and I don't think...
Well, Sam.
Sam's not really strong enough. I don't think there's, you know, there's no one with that sort of emotional pull, but we'll see, people. Great predictions, you guys. Yeah. Keep it up. Keep doing that. I love that.
So, Erica, where can everyone find you?
All right, you guys, you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards, and you can also catch me later on tonight for Real Housewives of Atlanta, if you all happen to like that sort of thing, or on Wednesday nights here at After Buzz Reality. I am on the panel for Real Housewives of Dallas Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Awesome. And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rach Goodman. You can also find me on The Young and the Restless, which is on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or the AfterBuzz Young and the Restless recap show, just to be clear. And if you are an Outlander fan, we're going right over to the AfterBuzz Outlander recap show, so you can catch that next. Thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week. We won't be here next Sunday because the studio is closed. So we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes, you guys. And comment. Let us know what you think and we'll respond. Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.